Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome everyone. This is the first call-in question and answer session for the new you in the new year. We'll have five of these over the next 5 weeks, same time each week. The purpose of this call is to talk about getting a better understanding of whatever the course or the class was that we just talked about. Most particularly, we want to talk about how to apply the action steps that we talked about in the class to your unique situation. So it's not all one size fits all. One lady wrote in this morning in the Facebook area that it's too hard for her to listen to the visualizations in the morning because she has to get ready for work and kids and things like that. So how do we make it work for her and for you and for whatever the other issues are? But really what we want to stay focused on throughout the 5 weeks in this class is getting the action steps right. So if you want to call in and talk to me, call the number on the screen and press 1. You have to press 1. That way we know that you have a question and we can put you through. So call in on the number and then press 1 and you and I can have a chat. And it's a great opportunity because I'm sure you might have a lot of questions at this point, and throughout the course you'll have questions. We can help answer those questions and give you the guidance that you need. I know that Nadia is here with me and she's got lots of questions that people have been asking, both in the last class and also the last 48 hours. So we can start with those. And then if at any time you want to talk to me, just call in. So let's bring Nadia in if we can.
Hi, John.
Hi, Nadia. How are you?
I'm really good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, really good. Excellent.
Great. There is quite a few people on the chat roll already, and you're right. There is quite a lot of questions.
Yeah. So all of you on the chat roll, just look at the phone number there. You can call in and press 1, and you and I can talk directly. But in the meantime, ask your questions in chat roll if you like, and we'll address them as they come in. Okay?
Sounds great.
Cool.
So there is a question from Emma, and Tammy is also asking a similar question. It's about alcohol and wine. So Emma is wondering what your thoughts are on drinking wine and should this be fully discouraged? And Tammy is saying that she knows that wine breaks down into sugars, but she has read studies where the red wines can be beneficial. And so she's also wondering, is wine off the table or are there certain red wines that you recommend?
So the thing about alcohol in general is that the approach that I take with it is that it never really is sustainable to discourage it per se. Say, oh, wine's bad, don't drink it. And I'll talk about what's good or bad about wine in a second. But what I've experienced with many, many people over the years is that they get to a place where they naturally don't crave it as much. They don't need it as much. Because if you look at why you would drink alcohol, there's a couple of reasons. One is it makes you feel good. Two, it reduces stress. Three, it gives you a little bit of blood sugar stabilization. Now, when you start doing some of the practices that we talk about in the Gabriel Method, such as doing visualizations and meditations to reduce stress, eating more nutritious foods to keep your blood sugar stable, solving life problems so that you have more energy and enthusiasm for your life, working through emotional issues and past traumas, all this stuff gives you a lot more energy and makes you feel better. And you feel less stress and your blood sugar stays stable. So for all the reasons that you would normally drink from a habitual standpoint, by adding in these new action steps that will create new habits that will make you feel good also and reduce stress and keep your energy stable, for all of those different reasons, you will find that you will not want to drink as much. And that is a very, very sustainable thing. Because when you don't want to drink as much, and you might even find, and I've had this experience, that when you actually drink, it actually lowers your energy. It makes you feel worse because you're just on a higher vibration and a higher buzz. So you may get into the habit of after work doing a yoga class or doing a meditation or going for a walk or a swim. something, playing some sort of sport that you used to play as a kid, dance class, all of these different things that make you feel good, you might want to start adding those things, or you'll find that you'll naturally want to add those things and the alcohol will fall away. So the best, most sustainable advice I have for alcohol is focus on your life and focus on everything we're doing to heal your life and to give you more energy and more vitality, and the alcohol will most likely fall away on its own. That being said, yes, alcohol does break into sugars, which is not so great. And yes, there are some beneficial aspects of wine, red wine in particular, such as resveratrol, which is in the seeds of the grapes, is a very good anti-inflammatory and antioxidant. In general, if you're going to drink, the best wines to drink are organic with no sulfites. I've even heard people say that that when they drink organic wine without sulfites, they don't get a hangover the next morning, and they don't feel that feeling the next morning. So that's something to think about. But pay attention to when you want to drink. Usually, you want to drink around the same time that people typically want to eat some sort of junk food, which is when your blood sugar is low and you're stressed out at the end of the day. So one of the things we'll talk about a lot in class in week three, is creating a stress reduction break in the afternoon so that you're listening to visualization, doing a little stretch, having a snack, and that keeps your blood sugar stable, reduces stress. You may find that your default is no longer to reach for a drink at that point. So let's focus on it in terms of all the positive things that we're doing and see where you're at the end of 5 weeks in terms of alcohol. Okay.
Great. I love that response. Nadia? Thanks, John.
Thanks. Okay, appreciate it. I'll just say that we are getting callers in. We got three or four that are on hold. But why don't you ask me one other question? I'll start taking calls and I'll try to bring you back in if I can.
Okay, sounds great. So this next question is from Anahi, and she says, "Hi John, I have a herniated disc and the pain never really goes away. Would it be possible that my chronic back pain is one of my fat triggers? Do you know of any natural products I could take to reduce the pain besides doing exercises?"
Yeah. So the answer is it is definitely possible. And I have worked with people in the past that have had situations like that. Natural anti-inflammatories, Therakermin, a product called Therakermin, which is spell that for you. T as in Tom, H-E-R, C as in Charlie, U-R as in Robert, M-I-N. Therakermin is a derivative of turmeric that's very, very good anti-inflammatory. That may be able to help working with physios and people that like Pilates and physio, maybe even a chiro. That obviously you're probably doing those things, but that might help a lot. But try the Therakermin, and also in general, juices with anti-inflammatories like cayenne pepper, turmeric, ginger, and other spices that are anti-inflammatory would be really, really beneficial. Do you have any thoughts on that, Nadia?
I agree with everything you said, and then also paying attention to your intake of things like the inflammatory foods, things like wheat, dairy, corn, and soy.
Yeah. The other thing is I always look at the mind-body connection. So you might want to do some emotional healing around the subject, and see if there is some cause and effect correlation between the incidents, whether it was an actual injury or it just happened, and whatever's going on in your life emotionally. Louise Hay talks about how lower back is often related to feeling supported, usually possibly financially supported, maybe emotionally supported, but the feeling of support. Are you feeling supported in your life? Do you have support? Is there things you can do to feel more support, such as doing visualizations where you're maybe repeating affirmations, I am supported, I feel supported, imagining a guardian angel supporting you or life supporting you, or some feelings around support, doing some emotional work like cellular release or tapping around support. I actually do know of a person, a friend of mine that I worked with years ago, who was in very, very fit and developed a back problem and gained weight, a chronic pain, and gained weight, but he developed it right after He had a really uncomfortable situation in his marriage. His marriage was ending. He found out that his wife was cheating on him with his best friend. And somehow he was doing some work. Right after that, he was doing some work on his house. He fell and then hurt his back. But I can't help but think that they were related, and we did a lot of work on the emotional trauma that he was experiencing. I haven't been in contact with him for a long time, so I don't know where he is right now. But it would be really useful to investigate the possibility that there is some emotional component. It's not just coincidence or fate or accident, because accidents happen, but sometimes there's a whole nother component to it. So doing some investigation in that area may be able to provide some real benefit to working through the issue. Yeah?
Yep, makes complete sense. Thanks, John.
Cool. Okay, thanks. All right, so let's start taking some callers, and maybe I can try to bring you back later if I can. So the first caller is Michelle in Canberra.
Oh, good morning, John. How are you? Happy Australia Day.
Yeah, happy Australia Day to you too. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, John. My problem is that I'm having trouble getting my head around the issue of not being on a diet, and I'm type 2 diabetic and other health issues. Now, I gave up sugar about 2 weeks ago, and I'm not craving it as much now. Funny enough, I'm craving things like anchovies, from the sublime to the ridiculous.
Wow.
But I'd love
fabulous.
To be able to eat some of your chocolate or cheesecake and that. But what worries me is if I start having a little bit of that, will that sort of reintroduce my sugar cravings?
Give yourself a little bit of time. As I talked about 2 days ago when we did our first class, yes, chronic restrictive dieting is not a sustainable solution. But if that's where you're at right now, whatever you're doing right now, give it a little bit of time, because what's going to happen when you say you've got type 2 diabetes, really what you have is something called insulin resistance. And we talked a little bit about insulin resistance in the class. Insulin resistance causes you to crave sugar, causes your body to hold up to weight. And we are trying to reverse insulin resistance by reducing stress and inflammation, which causes insulin resistance. So if you give yourself a little bit of time over the next 5 weeks to work on all the different issues without making too many changes right now, what you'll find is you're going to be craving sugar less, guaranteed, because your body will be more efficient at burning fat so that you're not getting low blood sugar episodes, and every aspect of weight loss is going to be easier. So let's take a long-term approach. Whatever you're doing now, don't make too many changes right now, and let's work on some of these other things like the meditations and healing your digestion, detoxifying your body, and let's see where we go, okay?
Oh, great. Yeah, great. And what's the best visualization to forgive? I'm very hard on myself putting on this weight. I want to sort of try and forgive myself and heal.
Yeah. In the members area, in our support group members area, I'm pretty sure we have a visualization that says that's a forgiveness visualization, and we can make that available. We can make that available to the members of this group. So if I just make a note to Nadia and Shannon, if you could just, and Aaron, if we could get that visualization, that's a good one. But if not, let me just write this down for you. Write these four affirmations. These are four affirmations that I use that I find very healing. You can use them with any visualization. So if you could just write this down, what I'm about to say.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so I love you. I accept you.
Yeah.
I appreciate you.
Yeah.
And I forgive you.
Thank you, John.
Let me finish. Hold on one second. Let me just say one thing, Michelle. So the way to use those affirmations is whatever visualization you're listening to, you can imagine every cell of your body saying them at the same time. So we've got 70 trillion cells. You just imagine the cells all saying at the same time, I love you, I accept you, I appreciate you, I forgive you. Just saying that over and over again, okay?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, John. I look forward to the next 5 weeks.
Excellent. Look forward to speaking again. Take care, Michelle.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Take care. Okay. Let's talk to Julie in Canberra.
Oh, it's Julie in Sydney, John. Thank you. Another Australia Day person.
Okay. Hi, Julie. Yeah.
Hi.
Happy to show you that.
Thank you. Two questions. Mine relates to why lemon and apple cider in the morning. What's the value and what's the purpose of that? And the second question is around, I suppose, where do grains... I've been looking through your through the recipe book and noticed that, you know, there's like no grains, no breads, no cereals.
Yes.
And you know, the place of milk. So, and then I suppose I like oats particularly, and just seeing where do they fit, or are they an anti-inflammatory grain as well?
Yeah. So... I'm sorry, repeat your first question again.
The first one was around why lemon and apple cider in the morning in the water.
Yeah. So lemon and apple cider vinegar both have a healing effect on the body. They help detoxify the liver. They help. They also help cleanse the digestive system. And if it's raw apple cider vinegar, there's friendly bacteria in it too. So it has a really beneficial cleansing effect. And you want to do things that, flush out your body and cleanse your body because it helps your body burn fat. So it's a great way to get your digestion started, to subtly cleanse your body and flush out a lot of the toxins that are accumulated in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Now,
that helps.
Yeah, now
yep.
Okay, so everything that we do from an eating perspective is we actually look for creative alternatives to grains, only because grains elevate your insulin levels, which insulin is the fat-making hormone. So, and all grains do. So all grains will elevate your insulin levels, which puts your body into a fat-making mode and creates this insulin resistance over time that the last caller, Michelle, was just talking about that she had. And because they are processed, even if they're whole grains, they're still processed in a, and we'll talk about this a lot in the digestion class, they do act as an inflammatory in the body because our body's not, our body is only really used to or programmed biologically to understand unprocessed foods, foods from Mother Nature, real fruits, vegetables, animal proteins, nuts, seeds. So when you process them, it makes them, your digestion looks at it as a foreign body, not as an actual food, or at least components of it, and that causes inflammation. That inflammation then can cause your gut, your intestines to swell, and then you get something called leaky gut, where undigested food goes into your bloodstream, which causes a chronic inflammation in your body, which then causes your body to become insensitive to the fat-regulating hormones that we talk about a lot, such as leptin and insulin. So for all these different reasons, and also because we have been sold the idea that grains are the bottom of the pyramid, the food pyramid, they're the staple of your diet. And let's face it, there's a lot of money. I mean, a lot of money that goes into grain, you know, corporations that make grains and cereals. We're talking hundreds of billions of dollars, if not trillions. So they're going to do whatever they can to influence the belief that this is the staple of your diet. But if you look at how we evolved, and really almost all our problems are because we're maladapted to our environment. But if you look at how we evolved, we didn't evolve on grains. So we didn't grow, we weren't having them thousands of years ago. So these things, so for this reason, we look for alternatives. Now, that being said, if you love your oats, it's not the worst thing in the world. Just keep in mind what I really want you to do is try other alternatives. A perfect example is if you like oatmeal in the morning, for example, try chia seed pudding. So chia seed pudding is when you soak chia seeds, usually overnight or for you can even soak it in coconut water or coconut milk or almond milk or some other nut milk. You can add some berries to it and some seasonings and or some cinnamon, and it's got a kind of a consistency similar to oatmeal. And it's loaded with not only protein and omega-3s, but really digestible calcium, magnesium, antioxidants, fiber, without elevating your insulin levels and without causing inflammation. So that's why what we try to do is find delicious foods that are alternatives to what we're used to that are causing the problem. So look at it that way. If you're eating grains, fine, leave it alone, but keep trying different alternatives. Use the recipe book as an opportunity to come up with other ideas and look to try those other ideas.
Perfect. Very happy to do that. Thank you.
Excellent. Okay, my pleasure.
Thanks, John. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's talk to Jules in Adelaide, please.
Hi, John. Hi, everybody. Happy New Year.
Hi, Jules.
John.
Happy New Year.
Hi. Thank you. John, I just wanted to thank you very much for your book. It's great, and I've been following it on and off for a few months now. My question is, yes, thank you. It's been wonderful. I've been battling with my weight. I'm 58, and I've been battling with my weight on and off since I was 16. Now, when I was younger, I just wanted to tell you this just quickly. When I was younger, I was molested by a young boy across the road when I was about 5. And at the time, I didn't think it was traumatic. However, I then went into this cycle of, you know, gaining weight and obsessive dieting and exercise. And look, about 18 years ago, I got a lap band, and that lap band controlled my weight. I lost 40 kilos and I kept it off for 15 years. So it was sort of like my safety net, if you like, and it took away all of that self-punishment that you do when you're dieting and then you overeat. You know, it took that away. Just recently in 2013, the end of 2013, I had another sort of event that wasn't, it was a personal event, and then I started to gain weight, and my body, you know, nobody knew what was wrong with me. They thought I had polymyalgia. My body just crippled, and I knew that it was because of this event.
Yeah.
Now, I still have this lap band, and the pain's gone away. I've controlled it, and the pain's gone away because I've got my head around the event and been working on personal development. So is the lap band, the lap band is still tight, but I'm still now 20 kilos overweight. So I'm wondering whether it's a mental thing or is it?
Yeah, so let's forget about the lap band. Let's forget about the lap band for a second, because the lap band is going to do whatever it's going to do, and it's there, and let's just leave it alone. But the incident that happened to you, see, it's really, really common to gain weight or to have weight issues, as I talked about in the first class, when you've had the type of physical abuse or trauma that you suffered. We carry that in our cells. We carry this memory that and sometimes we use weight as a protection. Now, whatever happened to you recently, my guess is it triggered the cellular memory inside you that life is not safe, that there's trauma, you know, that there's pain. And so it's wonderful that you're doing personal development work on working through what happened to you. But I would also go back and work on the traumas and the abuse that happened to you when you were very young, because that's where it all comes from. And you'll get the most mileage. I would forget about what should you do about the lap band, but just focus on this, because that's really what caused the weight in the first place. It's also what caused the weight recently. So it's really obvious that this needs to be worked out. And what's challenging is when you have a trauma when you're 5 years old or young like that, it's really hard to access it. So you need to go into kind of like a deep state. We do something called cellular release work, which I find particularly useful, because you go into a deep, deep meditative state where you're able to access the consciousness of you as a five-year-old and reprogram the event, so that you no longer are living, at least from your body's perspective, in this state of perpetual fear that something's going to happen. So the more work you do in that direction, the better. Now, one really good visualization that we have is called the Safe, Strong, and Protected visualization. I would love for you to listen to that on a daily basis. Even if you're only going to listen to one visualization in the morning, listen to that one, not the burn fat now this week. Just continue to listen to that one for now, and then we can talk as time goes on. But the more you're able to work through these traumatic experiences, the easier it is for your body to let go of the weight.
Oh, thank you, John. I at the time, it didn't, you know, I haven't, it wasn't like a horrific thing. It wasn't, I didn't feel like it was traumatic. But when this other event happened, I knew, even though I was having all these tests and things, I knew there was nothing wrong with me. I knew that I was making myself fat to make myself safe. And I realised that when I read your book, I realised what I was doing. I was creating a barrier. You know, it was a personal relationship, and I knew that that's what I was doing. So thank you. I'll continue.
Very common.
I love your visualization that I'm using that at night. Now, my other question is,
excellent.
I take, thank you, omega-3 capsules. Now, there you've put like a gram. I don't know how many I should be taking. So I take handfuls of them.
Okay. Well, they're actually really good. My recommendations are different than most people with omega-3s. They typically say to take 3 grams. And the thing is that what you're dealing with is fish oil. And if you eat a piece of fish, you're going to have 10, 20, like depending on the fish, it could be 10, 20 grams of oil. And nobody's concerned about that. So I think it's okay to take more than that, but just maybe just make it 3 to 5 grams if you're worried and leave it at that. But also try to get omega-3s from cold water fish, from chia seeds, from lots of greens, all these things you can get omega-3s from.
Yes, I've introduced those. I just wasn't quite sure how to work out the weight of grams in the capsules. That was all, but I can figure that out.
Typically, they're 1 gram.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
And
typically,
digestive enzymes, which is on the list to work on.
Yes.
What if I take probiotics, as your, per your suggestion in your book?
Yes.
The digestive enzymes, what is that, please?
So digestive enzymes are proteins that help break down the food you eat. So we'll talk a lot about digestion in the digestion class, which I think is going to be week 3. But the whole process of digestion is taking something that's big, a bite of food, and making it smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until it's so small that it can pass through the lining of your intestines. So our body produces digestive enzymes to break down foods, but sometimes we need help, especially if we're eating foods that are tough to break down, like processed foods, or if our immune system is constantly activated through inflammatory foods, our body is going to use those digestive enzymes. We also typically don't replenish those digestive enzymes. We can usually get them in live food, but if we don't eat a lot of live food, we're not replenishing those digestive enzymes. So we get into a place where we're kind of deficient in them. So you want to take them with meals.
And you can just
Health food store, yeah. And you can take them, but you don't have to take them all the time. Just whenever you're home, whenever you think about it, with a meal, you want to take some digestive enzymes.
Oh, good, because I'll get off these prescriptive drugs that I've got for reflux. All right. Well, thank you so much, John, and good luck to everybody.
I want to say one thing about reflux, too. If you have acid reflux, there's some of the most cutting-edge functional medicine doctors out there, such as Dr. Joseph Mercola. If you go to Mercola.com, M-E-R-C-O-L-A, Mercola.com, and look up GERD or acid reflux, you'll be able to determine the right course of action. So acid reflux can happen for two reasons. One, because you have a hiatal hernia, which means that the part of the esophagus that connects with the stomach is weak and acid is going into your esophagus. If that's the case for about 5% of the people that have acid reflux, only 5%. And in that case, taking proton and inhibitor pumps or antacids are recommended. But there are doctors out there, and that's why I want to refer you to Dr. Joseph Mercola, and also Donna Gates from Body Ecology, that say that the real reason we have acid reflux is because we do not produce enough stomach acid. Mm-hmm. It's the exact opposite of what you would think. It's not because you have too much acid. It's because you're not producing enough stomach acid. And because you're not producing enough stomach acid, you're not digesting your proteins enough, which is causing the acid reflux. So if that's the case for you, if you do not have a hiatal hernia, and you want to check with whatever doctors or healthcare professionals you use, and I always say, you know, it's up to you to choose your doctors or your healthcare professionals, but you do need to listen to them once you've chosen them. This is an area where there is not a universal opinion of what's the right course of action, so you need to educate yourself. But some doctors, such as Dr. McCullough, Dr. Hyman, David Perlmutter, they would suggest that you would take a digest. Possibly would suggest you might want to check, but I, giving you my non-medical opinion, I would suggest you take a digestive enzyme that has stomach that also has acid. It either has HCl or betaine. Mm-hmm. HCl is hydrochloric acid. Betaine is also a form of hydrochloric acid. Take that with meals. Only take it with meals and see if your acid reflux goes away. But do check my suggestion with your doctor, because I'm not giving you medical advice. But for many people, I'll just say one other thing. For many people, our biggest health problem, which causes all kinds of digestive problems, but it also causes all kinds of chronic illnesses, including weight gain. So one of the biggest health problems we have is as we get older, we do not produce enough stomach acid. That's the problem. It's not enough acid. So if that's your case, you can radically improve your health and vitality by supplementing with stomach acid at the right time, or with acid at the right time.
Oh, John, you make me so excited every time I listen to you. Thank you.
All right, let me know how you go.
Thank you, John.
Take care.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
You're welcome. Okay, let's see. Next caller is Kathy. Is it Candy? Candy from Georgia.
Candy? Sammy from Georgia.
Hi.
Hey. I have two quick questions. I've been noticing,
yes.
I've been keeping track ever since the last time we met online, about when I get most stressed out, and because lifestyle stress is like my number two. And I've noticed that it's in the afternoon after I pick up my daughter from school, and then, you know, all that whole time up until bedtime, because it just seems like,
Got it.
In such a little time. Like, how?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to give you some suggestions. I got it. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, yes. I'm going to give you some suggestions. And we're going to talk about this in a couple of weeks also. I want you to take what I call a stress reduction break before you pick up your kids.
Okay.
So if you can allot 10 or 20 minutes, the ideal scenario is, you do a little stretch. So you do what in yoga they call a child's pose, which you get on your hands and knees and touch your forehead to the ground, just lie there for 30 seconds. Let your butt touch your heels if you can, or just in that direction. And it's just going to stretch your back and open up your spine. Do you understand the stretch?
Yeah.
Yeah? Then you have a snack. A healthy snack with something that's either going to have protein or healthy fats or super greens or juices or nourish you in some way. So you got a healthy snack.
Okay.
And listen to a quick visualization like the afternoon recharge, which is, I think, a 7-minute visualization. But any visualization you want. But most of the daytime visualizations, morning visualizations, are under 10 minutes.
Okay. Awesome.
And then... make sure you have some healthy snacks within reach the whole rest of the afternoon when you're with your kids.
Yeah.
Okay? This will help you tremendously.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. And then I have one other question.
Okay.
I've recently been researching and doing some things with essential oils, and it's through doTERRA, and it's actually pure-grade essential oils, and they have a lot of benefits, and I was wondering your thought on using essential oils as long as they are, like I said, pure-grade organic.
Yeah, a lot of...
They have ones that have, you know, help with digestive enzymes, one for vitality, one for cellular bone structure, you know, they have a lot of different things like that that you can actually ingest, and they have like the vegetarian capsules, you know, with the gel capsules that you can take, or, you know, you can use it topically, or you can use it like an aromatherapy. So I just wanted to hear your take on using essential oils.
Yeah, I like the idea. I'm not an expert on essential oils, but people, there's lots of people out there in the cutting edge functional medicine space that recommend them. And anytime I've ever encountered them, I've had positive experiences. So it's not the type of thing where there's any kind of side effects or setbacks or risks that you have with taking pharmaceutical drugs. So I say go with it, explore it, find out what works for you, and absolutely keep using the ones that work for you.
Okay. And back to the green thing earlier, usually recommend to stay as gluten-free as possible?
Yeah, gluten-free is not the beginning and the end of it. It's not just about gluten, really. It's just about anything that's inflammatory. Gluten is one of the things that's inflammatory. But if you think about it this way, imagine you were living on an island 10,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want you to do is I want you to start adding as much food as you can that would be on that island to your meal.
Yeah.
Think of it in terms of that, rather than just don't eat this, don't eat that. Because if you just say go gluten free, you know, some of the wraps and the cakes that are gluten free, they're shocking. You know, so forget about targeting gluten or anything. Just do it the other way. Pretend you're a modern woman living in a modern life, but acting as if you are living outdoors in a primal world. So you're getting out in nature. Whenever you can, when it's warm out, walk in the grass, eat more salads and fruits and vegetables and foods that are eat real. Just keep adding real foods as medicine. Keep the focus more on that than avoiding this, that per se. Not because avoiding something isn't good, but unfortunately, and we all know this, for many of us, avoiding strategy is not sustainable. But the naturally not craving, if you get to a place where you naturally don't crave something, that is sustainable. And I've experienced that. Nadia has experienced that. And thousands of us have now over the years experienced that, where you get to a place where you don't crave grains. You don't crave anything with gluten. You don't even crave the gluten-free stuff. You just don't crave it. You crave real foods. That's what we want to get to.
Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And I hope to pass it on myself.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks.
Thanks. Have a great night or morning, whatever it is.
All right. Okay, thanks. You too. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Yes, yeah. Bye. Okay, let's talk to Kathy in Melbourne, please.
Thanks, John. My question was in relation to adrenal fatigue.
Yes.
I've been told by my chiropractor not to have my heart rate above 135 beats per minute, and if I do it, it actually sets me back, and I struggle to get out of bed for a day or two afterwards. But I've always found that exercise has been a good stress reducer for me. So what would be your advice?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's really how old are you?
I'm 40.
Yeah, so it's very common for women aged 35 to 48, I've found, to encounter adrenal fatigue, especially if you really like exercise and use exercise as a stress reduction strategy. Like you say, you get to this place where you can over-exercise, and the combination, usually it's in women that are hardworking, dieting, and exercising really hard. And that whole combination can lead to adrenal fatigue. And that's really common. And when you do have adrenal fatigue, you have to be really careful. You do have to rest. It's okay to exercise small amounts, but you need to have rest days. That's really important. And when you have adrenal fatigue, it's important to eat healthy fats are very important for you. Taking care of your digestion. And remember, I said healthy fats. So that does not include vegetable oils, or refined oils. Yeah. I'm talking about cold pressed coconut oil, avocado, chia seed or chia seed oil, and grass fed butter. These type of oils are the types of oils you want. I'm sorry, did you say you know? I didn't hear.
Yes, I understand. I've been on a sort of healthy fat journey for the last couple of years.
Yeah, okay. And then taking care of your digestion is really important. But also what's going to help you is meditating. Maybe you're meditating, yoga. These type of things are going to be really, really helpful to rejuvenate your adrenals. You basically have to rebuild and rejuvenate your adrenal glands. There's a couple of good supplements which your healthcare practitioner may have recommended, such as rhodiola and ashwagandha. Have you heard of those?
Yes, I take cordyceps at the moment.
Okay, good. So then sounds like you're on the right path, but what you want to do is tend more toward yoga and meditation, and that's going to help really rejuvenate your adrenals. And then short amounts of exercise, but not every day, 3 times a week. Maybe, but just short, okay. Just for short periods of time. Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay, cool. Take care. Okay, let's talk to Lorna in Alberta.
Hi, John. Are you there?
Hi, Lorna. Yeah.
Hi. I have a question, but I just want to give you a little kind of back story. For the last year, I started with you with the new year, or new you in 2016, and I kind of did the detox and another one. But there was kind of 6 things last year that really happened. The first was I sold my business, kind of retired. It was very, very stressful and scary. And then we went through the kind of natural disaster, the big wildfire in Fort McMurray, and we were evacuated, and we didn't lose our home, but incredibly stressful, and I had some post-stress symptoms, but I dealt with it. This program really was my lifeline going through it. And then we got home, no intention of selling our house, but we got a deal or an offer on our house. We still had a daughter at home that was 23 going to school, and we kind of sold the house from underneath her. So it was just a really, really stressful time. And then the other 3 things that really happened was, I just lost my train of thought. I identified what my emotional problem was, which was huge, because when I started this in January last year, I knew it was emotional, but I couldn't make any connection, and I was bullied, and so there is a bit of a story there, but I worked a lot through that. And the other thing was January 21st last year, I stopped dieting. You said if you can accept the body you're in and you don't gain any more, can you live that way? And I just went, you know what? I can do that. I can go to the beach in this body. I can dress this body. I can work out in this body. I can do that. And that was incredibly liberating. And then you told me when we had our follow-up conversation to just stretch. And I said, okay, I'll do the yoga. And you said, no. Go simpler, just stand up, stretch. And that was another thing that was incredibly liberating, because I never would have gone out. I do yoga now. I've got a personal trainer. I only go 3 days a week.
Yeah.
I love it. I go into a Zumba class. I never would have done it. I've climbed mountains, gone to waterfalls.
Nice.
And I would have. So my life feels like it's getting bigger. Last year at this time, it was really small, right? I feel like I'm in a good spot. No weight's coming off. I didn't weigh myself the whole year. So I weighed myself in January last year, and I weighed myself this year, and I'm like 8 pounds. So that's good. Like, it's not going up anymore. It's going down, but I feel like I can see it. But
all right, let me stop you. Let me stop you. Let me get some background. So you stopped dieting. Your life has opened up tremendously. You're down about 8 pounds, did you say?
Yes.
Okay. And how much weight are you looking to lose?
Realistically, probably I'd be happy with 40, but probably realistically 60.
Okay. And you came to a place where you accepted your body. you came into a real, I see you in a really good place. I mean, you did a lot
you
of work
said that
this year.
To me. Yeah, you said that to me last, like almost April, and then we went through this wildfire and it just derailed me. But I kept doing the Gabriel. I could walk through the grocery store going, no, I don't want that devitalized food. Like
let me put some things in perspective for you, just so you can see where you're at. So without dieting and go, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So without dieting per se, and going through a really tough year of stresses, you're able to be in a place where at the moment you have more energy, more vitality, you're more active, and your weight's down, not as much as you'd like to, but it's down. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And you feel amazing. I see you in a really, really good place. I'd love for you to listen to the abundance visualization because all those different things that happen to you, you know, they touch that part of you. They touch that, oh, my house, and we're going to sell it, and the wildfire. They touch this feeling of abundance. If you were living in complete abundance, a lot of those things wouldn't bother you as much. Yeah, it's horrible to have a fire. It's horrible to lose a house. But if you had $1 billion in the bank, per se, it would take the edge off of it, right? You wouldn't worry as much. Am I right about that?
Yeah, and that you know, I really we didn't lose our house. We sold our house, which was completely unexpected. But that in itself led to a whole other set of stresses. But I got through it, and I feel great. I just don't know what my next move. I don't know if I can see where I'm going clearly. But I'm good.
I'll
do abundance.
Well, let me say a couple of things. I want you to listen to both the abundance visualization and the Living Goddess. And when you're listening to the abundance visualization, I'd love for you to imagine your most perfect ideal life. And not just that the weight's gone, but the weight's gone, but not just that, but also this expansion that you're experiencing in your life continuing. So life just gets better and better and better. I'd like you to imagine that while you're listening to it. In the Living Goddess, I'd like you to imagine that this goddess energy is just filling you up. It's just filling your body with so much energy and vitality, and the weight's melting off of you, and you're just able to use that energy and vitality to create this amazing life. Because I see the weight coming off of you because you did tremendous work this year. Not only that, though, I see your life, like just this momentum that you have in your life, I see growing exponentially over the next 6 months. So I would love for you to use these visualizations to help this momentum that you have to really expand in every way possible, allow the weight to just release off of your body, and then have your life just grow in every way possible, because that's where you're going, and it's exciting, and these visualizations will help you.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. So I just needed a little clarity because
I think
I can see it, but sometimes it's gone.
Yeah,
I
can see it as I'm talking to you. No, I can see it as I'm talking to you, and it's exciting.
It's exciting. It is, and I love your program and your staff and you guys. I love how you just accept us all wherever we are at.
Cool. Well, that's part of growth. You know, I had to do it. We all do it, and where you're at right now from the work that you've done. And I want to congratulate you for the work that you did this year, because where you're at now is a place where I just feel every aspect of your life is going to be growing in positive ways right now.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, let's talk to Tammy in Portland.
Hi, John. I have two questions. One, maybe not a question, but maybe more of a comment. I started this week, and I went through all of the videos and everything that's online. I'm a person who works out every single day at 5 a.m. for an hour to 2 hours. So I kind of replaced my early morning workouts with the morning visualization and then Katrina's morning yoga. And I've done a couple of the work-ins videos. But I feel like I'm not moving enough, and I don't know if that's just a mindset that needs to change.
How old are you? How old are you?
I'm 49.
And how much weight are you looking to lose?
Probably about 40 pounds. I had lost about 60 pounds 4 or 5 years ago, but I've had a lot of things that have gone on and another emotional thing that happened about a month or so ago. And that's kind of what sparked me into, I don't think it's my eating is like super clean. I started juicing last year and no, about 95% vegan, no dairy, no gluten, no anything like that. But the weight just doesn't.
Let me ask you, and no sign of adrenal fatigue. Yeah.
I was just listening to that, and I'm not sure. It sounds interesting.
Because that lifestyle at your age and lifestyle that's a red flag for me. But you would have some symptoms. For example, you'd be tired all the time. Do you have that feeling of being tired all the time?
Not since I changed my diet. I do have autoimmune disease. And so I've been doing a lot to heal.
What autoimmune disease do you have? What autoimmune
Hyperthyroidism. I have a hive issue that I'm on medication for.
Is it Hashimoto's?
Yes.
Hashimoto's?
Yep.
Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'd like you to look up, in our support group members area, I did some talks with a couple of experts that have cured themselves of Hashimoto's. When I say cured, nobody ever says you can cure yourself, but they don't have the symptoms anymore. So
right.
One is a lady named Andrea Beaman, B-E-A-U-M-A-N. Another is Magdalena Wezeletki. So that's a tough one, but W-Z-E-L-A-K-I, something like that. Magdalena Wezeletki.
Okay.
You can look them up online. Mm-hmm. Another lady is Isabella Wentz, W-E-N-T-Z. She just wrote a book on this. But by healing your immune system through healing your digestion and working through emotional issues, you can oftentimes help reverse the Hashimoto's. Or at least reverse the symptoms of it. And I'm not, again, it's not a medical opinion. It's just what I've experienced in talking to people and working with people. But so that's something to look at. But it's a little bit of a red flag. So all the exercise you were doing, but it's also a red flag for me that you were doing that much exercise and you're not anymore. They're both, we have to balance it. So what I would suggest is if the exercises that you were doing before are not aggravating any of your autoimmune issues, I would suggest that you continue to do it 3 to 4 days a week.
Okay.
While also you can incorporate the yoga and the Tabata type stuff and the Brian stuff, you can incorporate that into those days. But do them on those days. But on the other days, the 3 days a week that you're not exercising, you do not want to do any exercise except light stretching.
Okay.
This will take care of this need for you to move more because you're more accustomed to it, but at the same time, hopefully prevent you from overtraining. But feel your way through it, whether you should exercise 3 days a week or 4 days a week, feel your way through it, depending on where you're at. But that should take care of that.
Okay. Now, I was thinking of adding I do some types of dance classes, something like that, that's maybe not as structured as what I was doing. I'm extremely disciplined, almost. I read your visualization book, and I've worked from home, and I'm extremely disciplined, and I've got that so much out of your book because I sometimes think it's to a fault. Because when I say, like, I've changed my diet, I was like, okay, no nightshades, no anything that's going to be inflammatory, and just cut it out. So,
yeah,
I like the morning visualization is great.
I love that you're listening to it. The dancing, I think, is a great idea. I just want you to have exercise days. I want you to think in terms of exercise days and rest days. You need rest days are for you even more important than exercise days, but you need both. So. You can do the dancing on the exercise days.
Yep.
I think it would be such a great thing for you. But you need rest days are also, for you especially, very important right now.
Okay, great. Super helpful.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Okay. All right, let me know how that goes. Like, what,
I will.
If it feels right, if it's your body's getting more energy from it, et cetera. Okay?
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Okay, we're almost out of time. We have one other caller, which we can take. And Nadia, we'll bring you in, you know, when we do our class in 5 days from now with whatever other questions that you have. And I know you're answering questions on the chat roll now as we speak. But in the meantime, let's bring in Maggie from Denver.
Hi, this is Maggie.
Hi, Maggie. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? First of all, I'd like to
commend
you on your fantastic program. It has been really helpful to me, and I have tried, I would say, even thousands of them. It's a lot of money and a lot of effort and time, and they work, and then they go away. And it's most of the time they blame it on me, and you don't do that. You don't blame it on the person, you know, on the person that's trying to lose weight.
Exactly.
Anyway, my question is that I joined your program last year. I'm this is the second year now, and I did a lot of improvement. Except I'm already 66 years old, but I feel maybe like 25. Anyway,
that's great.
Not that I do a lot of activity, but you know that's how I feel. Anyway, I hurt my foot. I was, you know, doing a little workout and stuff, and I hurt my foot. I thought it was like a sprain. So I went to the doctor, and he basically just told me to take Tylenol and ice it, and that's it. But that's been like about 2 or 3 months ago, and it still hasn't healed. And now I have to walk in a walker because I live alone, and, you know, I don't want to fall down and hurt myself more. When he looked at the X-ray, he said that he saw degenerative arthritis. Do you have anything that you recommend to improve that, or does that ever?
Yeah. How did you hurt your foot? How did you hurt your foot?
I was just to be honest with you, I was just I got up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom and it happened. I was just walking, and I felt like my heel. You know, when you're wearing a shoe and the shoe gets out of your foot. I felt like that had happened, but I was barefoot. I wasn't wearing shoes, but I felt like a shoe fell off, and I don't know.
Is there any other parts of your body that you're experiencing anything like this, or it's just there?
No, I experienced that in my knee, like about maybe 2 years ago, and it took a while to heal. I tried acupuncture, and it didn't. And the thing is that on that leg that I have, I developed a blood clot first in 2001, and then I kept continue working, and I had to stop working because then I developed an ulcer. I also have diabetes, type 2 diabetes, and I developed an ulcer, so that scared me because I had to go to the wound care people for like a year and a half so it could heal, and you know, so I'm concerned about that leg. But, you know, but when I was doing all the movements, it was improving.
And is it just right in your heel? Like, could it be like a bone splinter or something like that right in your heel?
It's in my heel. It's in my heel and the ankle. Like, I can't, when I step, I can't bend my ankle, like, you know, to take the step. So I have to, like, kind of drag it.
So you just want to have lots of things that are anti-inflammatory, such as this. Do you remember in the beginning of the show I talked about a supplement called Therakermin?
Yeah, I just heard it, and I bought a couple of bottles on it last week, and I started taking it.
Excellent. I would take two or three a day, or two a day at least.
That's what I'm going to ask you, two or three a day. Because I've been trying to, I take two and then sometimes three because of my weight.
Yeah.
You know, I've read that you know, it depends how heavy you are, you know, for the medication that you're whatever you need to take.
I would do that also because that's going to help in general with whatever's going on with your arthritis. And also having green juices that have turmeric in it would be really good too.
Oh, okay.
You could do that.
I started the juicing, and I did juicing in your program, and you know, and it helped me. I don't pay attention to my weight because I have like a, I don't know if it's a mental block or something from all the experience of losing weight. The thing is that if I weigh myself and if I've lost weight, I get all excited, then I go back to eating. And if I have not lost weight, I get really depressed, and then I go back to eating. So I decided, no way, I'm not going to weigh myself.
I can feel it,
you know. So,
well, that's the right way to be. You know, you want to let go of scales and focus on healing. But having the Theracomin and the green juice is what I would recommend right now, and see if that helps at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
The degenerative thing, does it go away or does it continue? I mean, if you treat it.
I mean, to me, in my opinion, and this is not a medical opinion, everything's reversible. And I have seen many things reverse that doctors say are not reversible. And when a doctor says you can't do something, all they're saying is, given their technology and their approach, you can't do something. So you can visualize your heel, visualize white light radiating around your heel, have more green juices and things that will flush out any of the aggravating things that are in your joints, any toxins, accumulated toxins in your joints. All these things can work miracles. They're not what a doctor would recommend, which is why a doctor is saying, you can't reverse it. But everything, I think, is possible to heal. Your body is magic. Your body is living consciousness, and it can be recreated using your mind and using healthy foods and living a healthy life. It's magic what can happen. And I've seen it not only with myself, but with so many people. So imagine white light healing your heel. Imagine yourself walking and being better. And then start having more of these green juices and Theracomin and eating more salads. And let's see what happens.
Okay. Well, that sounds really good. Thank you very much.
Awesome. My pleasure. Take care, my dear.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, we will take just one more caller. That's Angelica in California.
Hi, John.
Hi, Angelica.
I have two questions, but I'll save the longer one for our next
Q&A,
and I'll ask the shorter one now.
Okay.
I was just stimulated. The shorter one was stimulated by the person earlier calling about the lap band, and I was just curious, metabolically, how is it, does the brain shift into some different area when one is having emotional stress where she's not perceiving fullness anymore from the lap band?
Yes. That's exactly what happens. That's exactly what happens. And the way it happens, you want to understand the physiology of it.
It's so important, is that
emotional stress, emotional trauma will increase your stress and certain stress and inflammatory hormones, such as cortisol and pro-inflammatory hormones, such as tumor necrosis alpha, interleukin-6. These are hormones that make your brain leptin resistant. So the whole way that your brain regulates your body fat is by the hormone leptin. The hormone leptin basically tells your brain how fat you are, how much fat you're carrying on your body. And that's how your brain regulates it. But these hormones, these other stress hormones, they block your brain from receiving those signals from leptin.
Wow.
So it's like, so your brain doesn't know how fat you are. And I lived through this. I lived through a situation where I was 200 pounds overweight and my brain was acting like I was starving to death. So everything we do is the whole reason why we want to reverse inflammation, reverse stress, whether it's mental, emotional, physical, is because we want to change the physiology of our body. We want to change the hormonal signals in the body so that those stress hormones are no longer blocking your brain from knowing how fat you are. It's just that simple.
So in other words, even though the lap band is physiologically squeezing her stomach and telling her, giving her fullness messages, it's overridden by the stress hormones literally turn that off and turn off the leptin. Is that what you're saying?
The stress hormones literally turn that off. Well,
they block the brain from getting the message.
It overrides the full signal. It overrides the message that you're carrying too much fat. It overrides all of that.
Wow. That's amazing.
One of the last callers said, I think it was Maggie said, I love the fact that you don't blame us. You know, usually when a diet fails, they go, well, you know, I told you not to eat sugar, and there you are, you ate sugar, you know. I remember my wife, when she was pregnant, was worried about candida, and he, you know, he's one of these ketogenic people, and she's like, well, I had a banana, and he's like, a banana? How could you have a banana? You know, he went like, you know, so they do these things where it's like, it's all your fault. It's not all your fault, because the information you're getting is flawed. Unless the brain knows how fat you are, you're going to have a problem. And so the answer is to get the signals in your body working right, to get your signals in your brain. That's always the answer. And forced restriction doesn't address the answer. It doesn't address the symptoms.
Right. So that's
the show.
It doesn't. Yes. That was so. Because you would think the lap band makes her. You know, it gives her. It makes her stomach small. It can't move that much food, and yet.
Yeah. Listen. I have dealt with people
overridden.
Yeah. Well, a lap band or stomach stapling, just like any other diet, works in the short term. I have dealt with many people that have had real problems from. Lap band's not as bad as stomach stapling, but stomach stapling, the horror stories are unbelievable about how, you know, mutilated they are inside, and their intestines are coming out, and they're still having, they're gaining weight. You know, it's a horrible situation when you're in that situation. What you need to do is you need to get the hormonal signals right. And that's everything that we do. And part of doing that is meditating and visualizing and working through emotional traumas or working through lifestyle things. You know, if you hate your job and you hate your boss, that's a problem. You know, these things need to be worked through. It's not just about taking a pill or not eating a banana. You know, you've got to heal your life at every level. And that's what we're doing in this course. And that's what we do in everything that we talk about. And that's how to get your mind and body to work together so that your body and your brain and every part of you wants to let go of the weight, and that's how you become a naturally thin person. There's a science to it. There's a system to it. It's not just luck or randomness or genetics. There is a system to becoming a naturally thin person, and that's what we do.
Wow. Thank you so much. It's fascinating. Yeah.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much, John. Okay. Bye.
Awesome. Okay. Take care.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Okay, everybody, so we'll be back in 5 days with class number 2, so stay tuned. If you have any questions in the meantime, post them either in the members area or in the Facebook area, and we'll be really happy to help you. I am really excited about this class, and we're getting lots of great questions, really thoughtful questions, lots of enthusiasm from people, and this can change your life. It will change your life because the habits that you put in place will create a system of actions and hormonal responses in your body that can change your life forever. So take this opportunity, pay attention to the action steps, and we'll talk to you real soon. So thanks, everyone, and speak to you soon. Bye.